October 12th, 2018 is a lot from Pedro Show.
Tangelo from the Flower Vato, man.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Friday. We're supposed to be doing this Wednesday, but I had some problems. But here we are on a Friday, unusual for Watt for Pedro Show, but I'm very, very glad that we got Bim Thomas from Cleveland via Skype. Yeah, welcome aboard, Bim. I should say we started the show off with the John Coltrane doing Up Against the Wall. It's incomplete version. I guess the little tape recorder, I mean, this is before cassette, so, you know, maybe got screwed up. So you hear some little mess up in there, but it's from 1963. Yeah, those things happen. And then off the brand new Obnox album, Steve Albini Thinks We Suck, which is Bim's latest release. Hey, Bim, I want to ask you first, what's your earliest musical memory?
I remember waiting on my mom to come out of the whatever department store she was in. You know, she used to leave me in the car here and there back when you could do shit like that. And the old CKLW, the old Canadian station. I remember the call letter, CKLW.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. So, yeah, I used to tune into that, you know, AM radio, that kind of thing. And my grandmother's church, my family's church, the Greater Eddie Robinson Temple, you know, they had a great band. Bass, rhythm guitar, lead guitar, organ, real ivory, big ass choir, bunch of cousins in the choir. You know, it was real rock and roll. You know, they didn't hold anything back.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of rock and roll does come out of church. Maybe you feel the spirit and just let loose. You know, like you're saying. What about at the pad? Was there instruments in at the house? Did you have listeners or players?
Listeners, collectors. You know.
Okay.
Used to when they were younger. You know, used to entertain. So yeah, we had nice records around. And, you know, when ain't nobody around and got a little time on your hands, nothing to do, I would throw them on. And we had a little stereo in the basement. Just a great way to kill time, essentially. Initially, it wasn't like somebody was like, yeah, you're going to be a drummer. it wasn't that kind of thing. No.
No.
I still don't think my folks understand what I do.
Okay. Was there a guitar laying around? Maybe not a drum set, yeah.
No, sir.
Okay. What about at school?
High school.
Yeah, were you in a school band?
Actually, yes. I was in a band with some buddies that I had class with. One of them got a guitar. So we borrowed some instruments from the school jazz band, and we used to take them home on the weekends. Yeah. They were in, like, the marching band. They were in the band proper.
Sure.
And we all used to sing in the choir. And they talked me into playing drums for them. I mean, you know, just hey, he's going to play bass. I got this guitar and this amp, and we need you to play drums. And shit, they were just my boys. I was like, all right, sure, you know. Not even like, oh, I'm going to be a sweet drummer. It's just, let's try to learn a couple of songs, really.
So they picked drums for you, or did you choose?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's what was available. You know?
Okay, they say, yeah, Bim, you're going to be the drummer. Okay. And you've never been on a drum set before, right?
Not necessarily. These same guys, we used to study together. We had classes together, a big test or whatever. We'd go over to our one buddy's house, and his father was in a band.
Oh.
In the 60s, they put out singles, I want to say on like the Dunwich label or the Brunswick label, which is not Brunswick, something like that. I think it was called Dunhill.
Dunhill? Yeah, and, I remember that. Yeah,
D.C. It's called the Punks, M-U-N-X. And like his father had all the gear and he had a drum set. And ultimately, he gets this big-ass Neil Peart-looking drum set. And he's still a sick drummer to this day. Shout out to Jeremy Miller. Okay. But he pretty much gave me his old kit. And, you know, we used to, when we'd hang out over there and study and shit, we'd ultimately end up fucking off on these instruments. And so that was when I started playing. I wasn't very good, but there was a place where we could, you know, they had monitors and we used to put tunes, in, blast tunes and play along the records, and nobody cared if you sucked, you know. He was real encouraging, and, you know, ultimately, I got decent.
Yeah. What was the first gig that you went to?
To see?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Shit, I think we drove down to Ohio State to see the Violent Femmes, and that guy Ben Vaughn was opening.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Do you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
Could have been a Prince record, might have been a Rick James record or something like that. Zap. Probably yeah, more bounce to the ounce or something like that around 1980 in the third grade or something.
Okay. I'm just curious.
But my folks are super young, so, you know, we just had cool shit.
Yeah, right, right. So did this father of this buddy of yours, did he give you lessons, like? Did he show you stuff on the drums?
No, I mean, you know, my boy was a great drummer, so just being around
him. Okay. He knew.
Yeah, his dad was the guitar player in the months, but he was a visionary early on when we were teens. I mean, he was ridiculous. He's still crazy as shit. He plays jazz. He plays Afrobeat. He's not a egghead. He's like a cool dude that just knows how to do a lot of different styles and knows shit about tuning drums and taking care of shit. You know, little shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, like down the line when I ultimately dive head first into punk rock, of, you know, well, I guess I was already listening to punk when I started running with them, but when I got deep into it, it wasn't like I was playing on a Franken kit that had dead heads from fucking 72 and, you know what I mean?
It was together.
I knew the drum, I knew I had certain fundamentals or whatever. And, you know, I was a bench warmer on the football team, so I quit my senior year and played in the marching band at my boy's insistence, you know what I mean? Like, I was depressed about football, and he's like, fuck that. Come and march with me. You'll still see the games, and we can rock this shit. And we did. I mean,
would you play them kind of tom drums in the marching band? Would you play, like, those tom drums?
That was his get down, was the quads. But okay. I just carried the bass drum, man, because I can't read music.
Okay, so you, the big ass kick drum.
Yeah, I carried the biggest one. We had like three of them.
Okay.
But because I carried that big drum for him that season, like after the season's over, everybody goes to a concert and symphonic man, and they put on concerts, you know, orchestra concerts and shit like that, where I could leave school early. That was the last period of the day. I can't read music. I'm not going to be up here in this fucking pit orchestra. So I could leave school early, and they just gave me an A for the rest of the year. It was like a free play. My grade point average was lovely when I graduated.
Mitch, so what about making, you know, a band's doing gigs? Did you do any gigs while you were still in high school?
Man, just talent shows.
And what was that like? That's right.
Well, let's see. My mother hasn't seen me play since 1987 because the first talent show I was in, we covered Running with the Devil, and she and some of her friends were in the building. Yeah, that whole the devil's music, the devil's note, all of that shit. I've been dealing with that regarding my mom since 87. Okay. So.
I think that was Van Halen song, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because actually, I remember when that song came out, because Black Oak, Arkansas also had a devil song, Running with the Devil song. It was really strange. Oh,
the dude, Jim Dandy, you see him around Memphis every now and again.
He's still gigs.
Good dude. He's got that full length trench that says Black Oak Arkansas on the back.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw him a few times when I was a teenager. They would play like, you know, there was these arena rock, right? But they were like festival gigs, so you didn't have to sit in the seat. And they're pretty wild, their shows.
Dig it. But yeah, the second talent show we did, we went to a neighboring high school, and our buddy had some pyro that he was trying to, you know what I mean? This is MTV. I want my MTV and shit. We wanted to come off like a show, you know?
Sure.
And, they burnt the shit out of the school's stage curtains. So we were asked to never return, and then they just shut the talent show down altogether. So shout out to the Edison School District. Might be some raw talent out there, but they'll never know.
They'll never know. I want to play Fluss.
We'll be right back.
Watt from Pigo Show. Got Bim on the line here via Skype. We heard off the new Obnox record, Fluss, part of the bookend. People realize if you get the CD and the vinyl, the CD is not in the right sequence, so check the vinyl.
It's called Anxiety. It's everywhere.
Right. Okay, and then we had Stillhouse Plants with Material, Omenko Ando with Ruru, sorry, it's Ainu language. Ten of Swords in the Jester's Court, The World. Alex Zhang Huntai, David Maranha, and Gabriel Ferrandini, sorry, Portuguese cats. And then Opium Trail, this is way back 60s, a Scottish band. A U.S. guy in there, and he lives by Bob Keegan there in Detroit, Frazier. And, yeah, that's their cover of Woolly Bully. And Burmese Dolimbo out of Brazil with Semestre e Keovriover. Hard to say. And finally, Obnox with Peekaboo. So, out of school, you start doing music, you start doing bands. What was that like?
Well, when I graduated, I went to college, and I didn't really have a band until like right the tail end before I left. I was playing with some guys doing kind of a more of a funk rock sort of mixture, kind of like what was going on with you guys and, the popular stuff at that time, right at the top of the 90s.
Okay.
But that didn't work out. Those guys wanted to move to Georgia. I tried it, and it wasn't for me. Now, it's the black capital of the world, and I would have been deep within it, but I came back to Ohio.
Okay.
And also moved to Columbus, and then that's where things started to take off. Just playing with Flippin' Hades, meeting Don Holland and Jim Shepherd and those guys. And,
Okay.
But just a lot of great, great dudes that had a lot of records out. So it's kind of like running into Jeremy with the drums. These guys know shit. I'm a fucking sponge. I'm gonna pick their brains. I'm gonna jam with Don Holland. I'm gonna learn what these indie rock labels are doing. And definitely influenced by an SST and Touch and Go right up the way and stuff.
What am I thinking of? Columbus High Street, School Kid Records.
I actually met you for the first time on High Street. I don't know if you remember, Kyle Sievers and I are pretty good friends. I think you might have been on the Ball Hog tour.
Okay.
And we were at Little Brothers checking it out, and we ended up puffing a Little Chief out in the back alleyway. I don't know if you remember that or not.
You're talking Dan McDougan. Dan Dugan was the boss, right?
And it
moved to the, what they call it, the North, Short North?
Short North, yes, sir.
Because the first stashes was, closer to the school.
Right at the top campus. And I used to live around the corner from that place, too, man. Saw lots and lots of great shit there. All styles. Dan was into a little bit of everything.
That's right. Dan was...
Catch a blues group, fucking... Shit, he even booked Zydeco and shit like that.
I know. He's cool people. Very cool.
Hey, Edward, like, you never knew what the hell he's going to have in there.
Right.
G.G. Allen played there for about 10 minutes. He rushed his ass out the back.
You know what I learned about G.G. Allen? Bring your own mic if you're going on after him.
Lord. Another Funky Finger production.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to the gigs, you're seeing all this kind of music. So you're playing with people, right? Okay.
And I mean, shit, we're road tripping down to Cincy, see a blues explosion or something like that, or hanging with the Cheater Slicks. The Cheater Slicks ultimately moved to town, and I'm working at a record store with guys from the New Bomb Church,
Oh, wow.
And I'm still well connected with all the dirtbags and what you would call the have-nots. Everybody seemed to think the Turks had it all, touring, selling records, putting out singles all the time. And then you know, there's other cats, you know, got a couple of singles out, and they'll tear your head off too. And I was like right on the tightrope of all that. You know, I could smoke grass and drink with Monster Truck 5, or I could sit around and fucking talk shit with Mike Rep Hummel. You know what I mean? It's like, and everybody was cool with each other, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Certain egos to deal with, but I mean, for the most part, everybody respected each other for the most part, because, you know, to put your little life savers together and put out a 12 inch or to pack a van or whatever, I mean, shit, that's still pretty much all it's about. You know, computers and all that is cool, and the little followings and the likes and shit, but I was hang out with motherfuckers that really wanted to pack the van with their shit and go and burn rooms down. And, right. You know, and some of the guys that didn't get to do that, you know, I feel like America might have missed out. I feel like Monster Truck 5 could have been, or should have been, one of the biggest bands in the country at that time. I mean, they had pretty much played with and maybe even blown away just about every band that's known out there. You know, every famous band at the time. Nobody ever wiped the floor with MT5. And they kind of had that rebel edge, you know.
Yeah.
The motherfuckers fight, they could drink, you know. Their shit was painfully loud, you know. But it was still rooted in the blues, you know. It still had some kind of funk to it.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah, substance. So, what made you want to go out on your own?
What do you say, Mike?
Go out on your own. Start this Obnox.
What made me start Obnox? Yeah. It had a little dropout for a second.
Yeah, that sometimes. Yeah, what? So you seeing all this stuff that got you motivated to start the Obnox?
Well, yeah, I moved to Cleveland. My girlfriend moved to Cleveland, and so, you know, I followed her. Tried to live in Columbus for a little longer, probably like another year, but it sucked without her. So I moved to Cleveland. Yeah. And that's when I met the guys in This Moment in Black History, and we ended up doing a lot of records together.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, fuck, I feel like we've been together about 15 years or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long time. Do you remember the first Obnox gig?
Our first Obnox gig?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was this festival here called Wonderful Fest. It was started by this guy, Ryan Horrible, because Horrible Fest was taken over by the guys that he had worked it with before. They kind of phased him out. So he's like, all right, I'm going to do this thing called Wonderful Fest. And it was a little more garage-inspired, and it was a little ambitious for the first try. And, yeah, like the first Horrible Fest, it was... Well, not as bad as the first Horrible Fest, but the financial side of it was, you know, hanging out with a bunch of bands you like is cool, but people are coming from far away and you got some big names or used to a certain thing.
Right.
When they get their money, they ain't got shit nice to say about Cleveland, so, you know. I mean, but I hope that people enjoy this, maybe with some kind of, you know.
But what was it like for you guys?
It was cool. I had Elijah Vasquez in the band. Shout out to Bloody Show down in Columbus. You know, when he was a big part of it early on, you know, making the beats and, you know, just an amazing drummer with the ability to sing, harmonize. You know, he was like a music teacher. He had degrees in music ed and in music from a couple of, you know, fairly prestigious programs. And so him being with me, it was like a blessing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, fuck it, let's face it, you know. Hey, we brothers, we black, you know what I mean? And it's a trip in the rock world. I mean, I didn't think about it too hard back in my 20s, but, you know, over time, you know, it's like, damn, ain't too many brothers in this shit. Now there's a mountain of brothers all over rocking and rolling, and I can dig it. But back in the fucking 90s, shit, it was me and two other cats. And it's still like that on nights, but just having Elijah with me,
yeah,
I knew that we could put that kind of music together, or that he would be sympathetic to what I don't know about reading music, but what I hear in my head, he can help me to bring it out. And with, you know, vast musical knowledge, you know, like, I mean, he could make the real loner records, drums, guitar, bass, you know, this motherfucker can blow horns. He can play keyboards, you know, basically great on whatever he touches.
Yeah, I've met people like that. They're incredible.
He should really be doing the solo genius thing or whatever the fuck they called this. I hear music in my head. Me and my buddy always got a tape machine nearby, and we just start recording.
Okay.
Some motherfuckers are worried about where they're going to go and record and how's this going to work out and that. I ain't got time for that. I got to get the shit out. If the guitar is somewhat in tune, I know my flip is right. Let's just cut this. Let's just cut it right now, you know?
I could dig it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. October 12, 2018, Dishwap Pito Show. Special guest, Ben Thomas. Hold tight for hour two. October 12, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Here we go. Okay, we start off the second hour with Off Your Ass by Hob Knox, new album. After that,
the Bang Messiah.
Huh?
The new album, Bang Messiah.
That's right. Bang Messiah is the new Hob Knox album. Sorry about that, people. Then we had Joe Munakita with Druggy Man, Man of Leisure. No, King Alfred, Man of Leisure with Wishes. Andrea Pensado with Diogenes, Eel Junction from Yokoyama, Octagrape with Elephant Telephone, and finally Hob Knox with Baby Godmother off of Bang Messiah, brand new record. Bang Messiah, like you were talking about.
Yeah, he's a true genius.
Okay.
That's the guy that helped me to produce the record. He came out to Chicago with me. His name is Motherfucking Remix, The Bang Messiah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his whole handle.
But also Elijah, and, too, with Elijah, right?
Elijah quit the band back, 2012. We went down to South by Southwest, and then when we came back, he ultimately moved to Columbus.
Wow.
And he and his lady have a great band right now called Bloody Show.
Bloody Show.
So, when Elijah left, Richard Rodriguez joined Hob Knox, and then he and I, we went everywhere, New York to Texas and whatnot, and, he's in deep in the hardcore and the punk scene here, and he has a label called Saucepan Records, so it's like people know who he is because of his bands. A lot of people forget that he was in Hob Knox for over a year.
Okay.
And then Rosanna Saffos ultimately picked up after him, and then she and I, we did every festival. We went everywhere. We were out in Missoula, Montana. You know what I mean?
We
did a couple of shows out in L.A., and she's great. She's running a Happy Dog, booking bands. She's in a couple of bands. She does her own little thing, Sister Smurf. And she's tough, she's strong, man. Like people still ask for her, like when are you gonna be playing with that girl? I'm like, shit, man, she's got a life, she's got work to do.
What about this tune Rally on the Block?
Another remix banger. I take his beats and I wanted this one to be a little more beat oriented, and in most cases, I work with a guy, A-Live from Muamin Collective, Aaron Snorton, A-Live.
Yeah.
But he was working on the new Muamin records, and he was between Cleveland and Chicago doing a lot of construction work and stuff like that. So Remix stepped in, sent me a bunch of stuff to check out, and then I wrote based on his beats and applied all the instrumentation afterwards. Except for, Hater and I Hate Everything. We just built that from the ground up.
Okay, let's listen. But, Rally Round the Block.
We can't shut it down. Oh, we've just killed people. We have just killed a bunch of people. Change, and your heart was open. You focus on
it makes good. You ride along, we have to say, I'm a weakie, get on board. I'm a weakie, we tell boy. I'm a weakie, we tell boy. Cowboy, don't keep on.
Shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free, and good men die like dogs. There's also a negative side.
Get your
Watch for Pedro show, we heard Rally on the Block, brand new Obnox record. Then Sonic Youth, Voodoo Cane, Spoon Loons with Weekend Cowboy, Invisible Waves, Wasted Mind, Cold Heroes, Skullduggery, Nazarene Machine with Bug Up My Ass, Los Angeles Death Dolls, Bite It You Scum, Hounds of the Wild Hunt with Crooked, and finally Cream by Obnox. Me and Bim are talking about the late, great Jack Bruce. And that, a little man, but a big bass guitar sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
You had that call Heroes up, man. Where is Hiawatha Bailey?
Hiawatha, man, I saw him in Detroit at Stooges' gig maybe 5 years ago.
Oh, I was at that gig. Remember the blackout?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. We didn't play. Well, we did play, but like 2 years later.
Yeah, I came to the makeup gig.
Yeah, the makeup gig. Okay.
Yeah, man, Hiawatha, I've been searching for him, man.
That was the first time, because...
Every time I go to Detroit, man, and nobody seems to know how to find this guy.
Well, you know, he's an old buddy of those the Stooges' days, so maybe he made a special effort to come to the gig. It's called Pine Lawn, or now it's got a
Pine Knob.
Pine Knob, that's it. But it's also got a name of some kind of company now.
Yeah, back in the day, the Grateful Dead and all of them.
Right. That's why I was told by people. There was a lot of gigs. That was a famous place for gigs. What was the studio that you used?
The new album was recorded at Electrical Audio in Chicago.
Oh, wow, Steve Albini.
Yeah.
Okay.
Utterly professional motherfucker.
Yeah. Did he wear the fucking boiler suit and shit?
Yeah, he had the coveralls on. Yeah. He quit smoking, but he still let me smoke wherever I wanted to. Most dudes make you go outside. But
oh, okay. He's heavy into poker.
Oh, yeah, man. Shit, you lose your shirt fucking with him.
He won some big old tournament just a few months ago, like a couple,
$100,000
or something. I don't know.
That doesn't surprise me, man. I mean, shit. Man, listen. I don't like to count a man's money, but I think that $1,000, I think that's nothing in this world. He's dope. He's dope. Yeah. And he's hell on with the billiards, too, man.
Right, he's good with that, too. Look, we've been coming to the end of the second hour, October 12, 2018, edition of Wapito Show. Special guest, Bib Thomas. Hold tight for hour three.
He's dope.
October 12, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Sucker, I'll bust your head to the back, little punk. You don't come in this gym talking no trash to me. Before I kill you, I'll kill you, bitch.
Nah, not on my watch. Yo, piano man, take me. so it goes, my friend. But I love you in the end. Still the stars fade too. Yet we still have a good time. Full hog and board out ahead. Looks like we're balanced and blueprinted. Ready to head out on the road. Sorry you had such a battle. Glad we could live to say screw that. Lost some money, lost some time. So it goes, my friend, so it goes. Long, long through the days and nights. Made it out on out through this. You still have your most precious thing. So we made it. You blasted through it. Let's get out on the road, even just to go to town. Turn up the stereo, pass by the good and the bad. Hope that we get what we want. So it goes, friend, so it goes. Blood count looking good, I hope. Took a lot of blood, too. Glad they could save you. Hope your body rebuilds itself. This cost so much money, too, but we made it through. We are doing okay now. The answer to our prayers, and there you have it, miracle man.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Obnox doing 40th Street Black. And you got a buddy playing on there?
Yeah, that's my homeboy's Vigatron, David Vigatron Norris, man. He's like a well-known in the Cleveland hip-hop scene, and he shoots the best videos, and, you know, he's this thing is like a persona, and it's like, you know, everything's so PC now, and his shit is just dirty as fuck. He says what he wants, he says what's on his mind. He could write a movie script. He probably has written a couple, you know. He's like an aspiring actor, man. Comic book nerd, but just a good dude, just a gentle giant, and a mean ass MC too, you know, like, Like, I appreciate it. We got another one, we just finished up, that's coming out on my next record, man. Like, and then, on piano, we had our homeboy Eli Hanley.
Okay.
And, he's like, you know, fresh out of Berkeley, young dude, you know, like 23, 24 years old, Cleveland guy, went out to Berkeley and graduated, came home, and he's just slumming it with me and hanging out at Albini's, you know.
You're talking about.
He's on my last few records, actually. He's a good dude, you know.
You're talking Berkeley, Berkeley School of Music.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, another remix banger with the track, you know, and then my boy Chuck like flew out for the session. He's been on practically all the Odd Knots records, doing lending some lead guitar here and there. You know, big chunks. You know, he'll just come in and just play for fucking 4 hours and look at you like, "What? I'm done?" And it's just like, "Yeah, man, fuck, that's the album." He and I, we got acquainted playing in Puffy Areolas, and yeah, man, when Damon split town and the band kind of folded up, he and I just worked on the Odd Knots records here and there together. You know, whenever I need him, he comes. Even if he has to fucking book a flight and get out of town for me. And he has just had a daughter too. It just meant so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
good dudes all around. You know?
Yeah, absolute. I'm much grateful.
I'm fortunate. Just everybody that's played on an Odd Knots record in one way or another, shouted or harmonized or plucked a lead or shook a tambourine or whatever the fuck, man. They're all solid people. They're talented. You know, they might not be the most famous motherfuckers, you know, but
that's okay.
They're talented, you know.
That's okay. You know, you got to be grateful for that stuff. I think the same thing about the cats I get to play with.
Music, yeah, yeah. Like jazz, though. Oh, jazz dudes, they always keep fresh legs around, man. Yeah. Keeps it interesting.
Absolute. And we heard Belfi Faravelli duo doing Untitled Gay Your Project, To the Tears We Share, live from Cartavetro, Genoma Cats, Chronic Anxiety out of Philly with Your Data is Invalid, Joe Brewer, Madison, Wisconsin. So it goes. And finally, Find My Way, Odd Knots, new album, Bang Messiah. Are you going to tour this album?
Yeah, you know, I gotta get surgery, man. I have an ailment on my neck, and my insurance was just denied because they think it's cosmetic surgery. It's like, man, I've been dealing with this shit for 3 years. If you don't give me
cosmetic surgery,
get this. Yeah, man, it's like it's the insurance shit around here, man. It's a scam, man. Yeah. Like, you gotta fight for money that you're always paying in on, and you know, they don't tell you what they're investing on. You know, it's just fucking, it's just their money at that point, and they can do what the fuck they want, even right. If you need surgery. You know what I mean?
Right. So you can't tour until you do this surgery, right?
It's being rescheduled. I just want to get it taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the road for a long time. All of a sudden, my daughter's enormous in fucking, you know, my health, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm 46-year-old black man, you know, I gotta get certain shit together before I can head back out. But not long from now, I'm gonna do something. I think I'm thinking about the West Coast in the late winter months.
Ah, cool.
I believe I'm gonna come back down go back down to Texas for South by Southwest. There's people call all the time, so I'm gonna hit them back and probably do some long weekends here and there, but you know, a lot has happened in my life, and I had to take a deep breath and dig myself for a minute, and now things are looking normal, and I think I'm gonna pick up and go and see my friends, you know.
Yeah.
Play some music, eat a little food. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna play this. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You know, life comes in cycles. In fact, this was the first year. 2018, first year for me in 36, 37 years that I didn't tour, so I know what you mean.
Oh, good Lord. Hey, man, actually, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, in Akron, Ohio, me and about 20 other people were at a Universal Congress of Gay.
Joe Biza.
Yes, sir. Now, the van that they struggled to start on the way out, was that the Double Nickels van? They were having trouble getting their van started. I was like, damn, that's the fucking van from Double Nickels on the Dime. Did you sell them that van?
No. That was a similar looking van.
Sorry
to break the news, Bim. It was similar.
Yeah. I was pumping some regular.
And also, you know, George Hurley, myself, we kept our boat going. We kept it strong. Okay.
Yeah, I guess you would have to. All right. The great fire hole.
The Universal guys, maybe not so automotive inclined, more musician types.
No, and my buddies opened that show, and when I realized who they were regarding ST and the whole shit, I'm like, what the fuck are they even doing here? Like, why are they in Akron, Ohio? It's just like the Daily Double. It's like a brew pub now or whatever, but back then it had bleachers, and it was just a little hole, you know?
Yeah, but still, and, you know, it had a college, and if you got a college, you might have a
crowd. Yeah, I guess, right. Right by Akron U. But then they killed that night, you know?
It's great.
For whatever people thought of Greg Ginn's jazz phase, the motherfuckers live, I can see why they put those records out, you know?
Yeah. I'm doing a project right now with Joe Biza called Frog Lab, kind of improvised thing. Look, I'm going to play Waking Quake here, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask this little boy. Look at me, little boy. What the fuck you doing in my house today? And if you tell me a motherfucking lie, I'm gonna moose your motherfucking face up. Then why is you here?
Bitch!
Try me.
autumn spread its warmth on me. All my days were dark from the thoughts of insanity. Let my mind to focus all my thoughts towards me.
Yeah!
Watt for Pebro Show. Last music for this edition, Obnox, brand new album. Bang Messiah, Wake and Quake. It's not like Wake and Bake.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to get down the highway to Earthquake and Devices, you know.
That's it.
Shout out to Earthquake.
You know what, Bam? I did something for them for some kind of, I think it's called Tiny Pyramids.
Yeah. I think you did the spatial delivery.
Yeah. What's his name?
The envelope.
Vice Cooler came down to San Pedro to my practice pad, and because I don't use a lot of effects with my bass, you know, but I said, hey, I'll try it. And it was.
Yeah, that's. It's kind of like a cock wild filter sound, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of good for you with your funk leanings, you know?
Okay, yeah. I've used envelope filter before, kind of like Bootsy stuff.
There's an Ohio guy.
He's Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
Then we heard Phone Bone doing Shape of Your Heart, Todemoshi with Sound of Horn, Take Me demo from the Persians, Sachiko with the voice from The Border, Control Your Crime from Peace Creek, and finally, Enter the Hater by Obnox. And you said you built that one from the bottom up?
Yeah, man. Started out with the drums.
Okay.
Over to the guitar and put the voice in.
That's how Prince, that's how Dave Grohl did his first album. He did the drums first. I think Stevie Wonder did that stuff too when he did, like Inner Vision stuff where he played all the instruments. They started with the drums, yeah. Where can people find you on the internet, Bam? I want the listeners to be able to go find you.
Oh, Obnox, a.k.a. Knox, on Facebook, Knox Rock on Twitter, and Montnox on Instagram.
Okay. So, people, you can go find it out. Bim's got righteous tunes. He's already working on the next album.
And then any record you need, there's plenty of records on Ever Never Records, on 12XU Records out of Austin.
Yeah.
Smogville.
Sure.
You know, Revolver, Midheaven, Mail Order. It's everywhere. Go and check it out. Check out one of them. The 7-inch is still turning up here and there. There's over 20 records. Get at them. Get at me. Mr. Watt, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your resilience in the game, man, and just you're a legend, and much respect and love to you, man.
Respect and love back, Bam. It's been a very big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. It's been the October 12, 2018 edition of Wapa Pedro Show. Special guest, Bim Thomas. Keep your powder dry.